coaching is not about putting on your expert hat, right? But assuming that the client is an expert in their own life. Health and wellness coaches are behavior change agents, right? We really understand how to move that person from, oh, I know I need to get healthy. I know that I have high blood pressure and I need to get control of that. I know I need to go for a walk, but I just don't know how to get myself to actually do it.
It wasn't that long ago, just a few years back in 2016, when you and I could sit down over a cup of coffee, decide that becoming a health and wellness coach sounded like a cool idea, and then walk out of the coffee shop calling ourselves exactly that. Or organizations posing as wellness coaching companies could hire nice people, give them a script about eating kale and exercising 3 times a week, and market it as such. Those days have changed. As the National Board for Health and Wellness Coaching, or NBHWC, now oversees a comprehensive certification process, including a national board exam proctored by the National Board of Medical Examiners, the same organization that oversees the licensure process for physicians. Yes, there are still obviously plenty of influencers out there posting cool videos and making unsubstantiated claims, along with people selling supplements, calling themselves coaches to try to garner credibility. But the gig is up. A real health and wellness coach is someone who's gone through the rigorous process of becoming board certified. And today, we are thrilled to welcome back to the show the executive director of the NBHWC, our only 4-time guest we have ever had on the Catalyst 360 podcast, Leanne Webster. If as you listen to this, you decide, you know what, I think that's something I want to look into, Catalyst Coaching Institute's next NBHWC approved health and wellness coach certification launches very soon. As you'll hear kind of spliced through some of the conversation, Catalyst has been one of the nation's top programs since the early days, and we are recently highlighted by Forbes as one of the industry leaders. If you'd like to discuss your specific situation, any specific questions you may have, not with a salesperson, but a board-certified coach, licensed counselor, and occupational therapist, Susanna Cooper. Yes, the Susanna Cooper. Please reach out anytime. Results@catalystcoaching360.com, or you can contact her directly, 720-339-4292. If you're already a coach, do not miss the coaching event of the year, the Rocky Mountain Coaching Retreat and Symposium. It is held at the end of September with coaches from across the country, and we hold it in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. You can still access early registration rate, at least at the time of this recording, and group discounts are available for teams. All the details on our institute site, catalystcoachinginstitute.com, under the retreat tab. And now it's time to tap into the wisdom and knowledge of NBHWC's Executive Director, Leanne Webster, on the latest episode of the Catalyst 360 podcast. 4-time guest of the Catalyst 360. We've never had anybody more than twice. So welcome back. It's great to see you.
Thank you so much, Brad. It's really good to be here. And I've just really enjoyed listening to your podcast and watching your audience grow and just seeing you really just lead the industry. So thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. Yeah, we're having an impact. Let's hit the essentials for folks that are tapping in and going, wait, what is NBHWC? I don't even know what that is. Why was establishing a national board? So everybody, it's National Board for Health and Wellness Coaching. Why was establishing a board exam so important? It happened in 2017. And what is involved in becoming board certified? Can you just kind of walk us through the overarching concept, requirements, and reason why it exists?
Sure. So I'll start with the reason why it exists. So if you look at any industry that's been around in the U.S. for a long time, you will note that that industry is backed by standards, training, education, assessments, right? So in order to really be taken seriously as a professional in a given role, in this case, it's health and wellness coaching, you really need to have those standards backing you, right? So, it's interesting because I've actually done a presentation about, certification and why it's important. And when I was developing that, I started looking into the history of other professions, right? So I looked at dental head dentists and paralegals and attorneys and physicians. And what you see is that there's this process that happens where originally in many of these cases, people take an interest in that industry and they just start doing the work. Right. But there comes a point in that profession where everything needs to, quote unquote, professionalize and standardize. Right. And so if you look at the history of health and wellness coaching, we can go to back to about the year 2000, although, you know, there's obviously some disagreement there from subject matter experts who've been in the industry for a long time. But if you really kind of go back to about 2000, that's when people started calling themselves health and wellness coaches. And that's when you started to see training entities pop up, right? And begin training people to become health and wellness coaches. There weren't a lot. There were a few, but there was no uniform standard across the industry. Right. And so as more and more of these organizations started to come forward with training, it became very obvious to the leaders from those organizations to come together and decide that there needed to be professionalization and standardization. That was backed by training, education, and assessment. So that is really why we exist, so that we could bring the education, or I should say, bring the profession forward. Right. And also, as a result of that, gain recognition from employers and from healthcare organizations to really back the credential and back the profession of the health and wellness coach. Yeah. So I would say that's part one to your question. Do you have any questions about that before I go to part two?
No, I love what you said, because we were one of those first providers and it was the Wild West. And
totally.
And I won't put other names out there. Cattle's Coaching Institute was one of several that were trying to do a good job and trying to hold high standards. But there were others that were not. There were others that were like, yeah, do this little blah, blah, blah for right. $300 and you'll be a coach. And we're like, oh, my word. So we love the fact that you and several of the respected organizations came together to create these foundational elements. I want to make sure that we mention the NBME. Can you talk that through and the role that the National Board for Medical Examiners sure. played and why you chose them to be involved and who are they and all those good things as part of that?
For sure.
If that doesn't mess up your part two.
Yeah. So we're clear, your first question talked about why we exist, yes. but then it also like, what do you have to do to become a coach? So yes. we'll put that
perfect.
In the parking
Let's
lot.
Drop NBME okay. into that. Perfect.
It's in the parking lot. As far as the National Board of Medical Examiners, so our organization launched as a formal nonprofit entity in 2012. And that's when we really started getting to work in identifying the knowledge, tasks, and skills that a person should have to be a health and wellness coach. And we really started to move that forward. We launched program approval. We started working with organizations just like Catalyst and Catalyst, right, to approve you and make sure that you were one of the approved entities that someone could go to in order to become board certified. And so that all happened between 2012 and 2015. In 2016, really it was through a mutual friend. It was a physician named Dr. Eisenberg. He was out of Massachusetts, and he was doing some work with the National Board of Medical Examiners, and he really felt that there would be a good synergy between both organizations. Mm. So he essentially set us up on a date, and our organization really started talking the details with NBME. For those who are not familiar with the National Board of Medical Examiners, they are an organization that's been around for more than 100 years. They're based in Philadelphia, and they board certify physicians. So they really wanted to partner with an organization that was essentially doing good work in healthcare. So we like to think of NBME as experts in exam creation.
Right.
And then on our side, we have the subject matter experts, right? So when you bring these two together, you can really end up with a great product. And in this case, that would be our board certification exam.
Perfect. And then that takes us back to the parking lot. So
okay.
Excuse my interruption and pop back in there.
Yep. Okay. So in the parking lot, you had asked me the question, what does it take to become a national board certified health and wellness coach? And I'll add to that, that becoming that also results in the NBC HWC credential, right? So in order to earn that credential, a person needs to attend an approved training program. So, now at the NBHWC, you know, we've got 127 approved programs. And these programs are a lot of private organizations such as Catalyst Coaching. And then we also have organizations that are from universities or community colleges or even internal training programs. And an example of that would be like the VA.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when somebody takes the program, they'll go through it. And a lot of people will ask me, you know, well, are all programs exactly the same? And the answer is no. I like to think of them like ice cream. It's the same basic recipe. And then there's different flavors,
right?
So Catalyst Coaching has their own flavor of ice cream.
Right.
However, they meet the basic recipe, right? And that recipe is the training, education, and assessment standards. So to get even more granular, in order for a program to become approved by us, they have to have a minimum of 75 hours of training and education, right? So when somebody is new to the field and they want to become a board certified coach, they should know that at minimum, they'll be attending a program that is 75 hours. Once they graduate from the program and once they have a practical skills assessment, and for somebody who's not familiar with that term, that basically means it's like a live exam to test your skills as a coach. Once someone goes through all of that, then they have to complete 50 health and wellness coaching sessions in duration of 20 minutes or more. So, they go through all of that and then they're ready to sit for the board
qualified.
Certification. Yeah.
Perfect.
Exactly.
And then that is offered currently. Is it twice a year that the
actually board? It's three times a
three
year
times
now.
A year now. Okay, yeah. Perfect. So they can look at the website as far as those dates. Now, the natural question, some of our audience is already board certified coaches. Some are coaches saying, wait, now what was this? And the rest are saying, wait, what now? There's a board. This is kind of cool. Because they're seeing people claim to be, and I'm going to put quote marks here, even though nobody can see me, coaches on Instagram or social media sites, or they've got their own website or whatever. And there's nothing illegal about that, but there's just, it's a completely different world. It's how does a person that's board certified clarify the difference when their potential clients are out there seeing these super athletes and models and charismatic people saying, yeah, I'll be your coach. They actually couldn't even tell you what motivational interviewing is, let alone do true coaching. But any guidance for the coaches out there who are saying, help me, Leanne, help me, Leanne, what do I do with this?
So going back to what I said earlier, I think, you know, if a coach is really trying to provide their value proposition to a potential client, I actually think it's really helpful if they look at other industries that potential client may be able to identify with, right?
So CPAs.
Exactly. A teacher.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're right. And when you really start to, you take a step back just from the health and wellness coaching industry, but you look at all industries across the world, really, but we'll just stay in the U.S. for today. You're going to see that training, education, and assessment matters because it allows you to do your job well.
Right.
And I think that's the message that has to be conveyed to potential clients, is that you know how to do your job well because you have taken these steps to get to where you are today and you've earned a valuable credential. Now, what does it mean to do your job well in terms of being a health and wellness coach? What I would say is that if I was talking to a potential client, I know how to help you succeed at changing your behavior so that you will accomplish the things that you've been wanting to accomplish when it comes to your health and well-being, right? So really, health and wellness coaches are behavior change agents, right? We really understand how to move that person from, I know I need to get healthy. I know that I have high blood pressure and I need to get control of that. I know I need to go for a walk, but I just don't know how to get myself to actually do it. And as an agent in behavior change, someone who can really specialize in that as a health coach, we can help you move the needle so that you can actually make the changes that you're desiring to make.
Yeah.
So
that's in the way that matters to you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Well, and I always encourage the folks, offer a sample session, because that social media person can give great instructions, but so can AI. So that is going to fade away, and we're going to talk about AI in a little bit, but the person who simply knows how to tell you what to do, their value is going to go down and down and down and down, because you can just pop onto ChatGPT, ask the same question, and get the right answer. But there's a big difference between information and application, and where the skill set of the board certified coach is in the application piece. And I love, love, love that phrase, behavior change agent. That is awesome. So folks, offer a session, because there's a huge difference between what you do and what someone who's a, in quotes, coach is thinking they're doing. So yeah.
Exactly.
Love that. Let's pull out the Leanne Webster crystal ball. What are you seeing in terms of trends in the industry? Take that any direction you want.
You know, one of the biggest trends that I'm seeing right now, which I really like, is bringing the health and wellness coach onto college campuses.
Yes.
So I'm definitely seeing a lot more universities embracing the concept and the profession of a health and wellness coach. They're really starting, we know that when a college student is struggling, and we know that that percentage is more than 50%, right? I've read different statistics, so that's why I'm going to go with more than 50%.
Sure.
We know that they need help and they need it quickly. What we also know is that when they go to get the help, the wait time is often more than 6 weeks, right?
For universities and for employer, we see that because we work primarily in the employer realm, and it's the same thing. They're bringing coaching in because you can see a coach tomorrow. You can talk to a counselor, a therapist, as you said, in 4 to 6 weeks, if you're lucky.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I'm really starting to see a lot more in social media about like things that universities are doing. There's this one company that I'm good friends with the CEO. It's called Preventia, and they just did a big event with Butler University.
Excellent.
Right. My son is a freshman in college, and he is at USC, and I've kind of followed them and what they're doing with health and well-being. And so I'm seeing it a lot there in college campuses. That's what I would say one of the trends is. Another thing that I'm seeing a lot, which I really like, is I see the military really embracing health and wellness coaching and also lifestyle medicine, right? So I would say that's another big trend. I know that the Air Force is really moving things forward when it comes to lifestyle medicine, and also knowing that there's a lot of support needed there with the concepts of lifestyle medicine. And that's where the health and wellness coach can play a significant role. And then, of course, the usual answer would be, you know, technology. We're obviously we see it a lot with organizations that are merging health and wellness coaching in the technology space. And then I also see it. I'm starting to hear more from like pediatricians, which is pretty cool. I'm seeing it on the research side. Right. So I've had just in the last couple of weeks, I've had a couple of people reach out to me who are researchers who are looking to do studies with pediatrics and health and wellness coaching. So that's pretty cool. But then I've also seen more pediatricians reach out to me and say, hey, talk to me about health and wellness coaching. You know, I want to learn more. So, yeah. So I don't know if those were the answers you expected.
Yeah, but no, that's on a personal level. That's super fascinating because our son's in year three of med school and he's planning on going into become a pediatrician. So I'm like, wow, I think I need to pass this along. Where do we stand with billing insurance for coaching sessions? I know there's been a lot of moving parts and potential moving parts and HSAs involved and not involved. Where are things currently in terms of that, and where are we heading with that?
Yep. So that's a really interesting question and also a complex answer, right? So when coaches, you know, there's a lot of frustration out there, I will say. There's a lot of frustration because to coaches, it just makes sense that this service would be reimbursed by insurance. And so when it's not an automatic yes, it's very frustrating for health and wellness coaches. And we see that every day at the MBHWC. And I completely understand because when you're on the outside looking in, how could you not have these big insurance companies reimbursed for this service? But the reality is that it is much more complicated than that. So MBHWC has really tried to move the needle with healthcare in terms of reimbursement. Last year, we worked with 75 different organizations across the country who currently have health and wellness coaches on staff, right? And they're like big systems like Mayo Clinic, UCSD, Massachusetts General Hospital. And we were doing this because we really wanted to show the American Medical Association that, hey, this is happening. We want Category 1 codes. We really need this for the industry. Now, we're a little bit ahead of where the healthcare industry is. So we currently
a little.
I'm trying, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. But, you know, right now there are not currently specific Category 1 codes for the service of health and wellness coaching. However, there are some codes out there that will work in certain systems, right? So what I always, and I'm not even going to name what those codes are because that'll just blow up.
Sure.
But what I will say is that when a coach approaches me and when that coach already is working in the healthcare system, I tell them, you know what, you really need to work with the physicians and you need to work with the billing and coding department, because it really is the billing and coding department that has the relationships with the payers, and they can have these knowledgeable conversations about payment, and they can really help to guide you and the physician about how you can build this into your system to make it work, right? So I have seen some success with that. When it comes to the entrepreneurial coach, I usually will tell them, one, you really have to understand why your service is valuable and you need to be confident in self-pay. Like you need to really sell your service, right, to the potential client so that they really understand like why they would want to pay for your service. So obviously self-pay will work. But we also have the option for the HSA and the FSA account. And so, you know,
and folks, that's a health savings account. So many slash most employees will have access to some form of one of those.
Exactly. And so The only caveat there is that the employee who's interested in the service of health and wellness coaching has to get a letter of medical necessity from their physician. From what I've heard, those are not difficult to get because ultimately it's about lifestyle medicine and chronic disease management, right? And so most physicians are going to say, oh yeah, you know, if you can get your blood pressure down or your prediabetes, you know, get rid of your prediabetes, et cetera, we're going to give you this letter. So then they can then use that HSA or FSA account to pay for the service of health and wellness coaching.
Pre-tax.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's another option for people. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Big savings.
So we continue though. You know, I probably shouldn't name the government entity, but we did have a very successful meeting with a government entity last week. I'm meeting with another state-run government entity this week. So we're getting our name out there. We're moving the needle. We have conversations regularly with medical societies. And what we know is that when you're trying to move something forward in healthcare, you really need everybody on board, and that includes the medical societies. Yeah. So we're doing our due diligence, but it is not easy, and it will take, I don't think there's going to be an end point, actually. So it's not like we're trying to get to the finish line. It's just going to keep evolving.
Right. Well, so and I'll tell our audience, from someone who spent 20 years in healthcare as a physical therapist before we started Catalyst Coaching in 07. Oh my gosh, it's been a long time. Be careful what you wish for. And if you talk to physical therapists, if you talk to physicians, if you talk to counselors, they're not necessarily super excited about the insurance coverage. So more and more of those folks, the physician that I see annually is self-pay. The physical therapist that I go see is self-pay. Because they found that's a better model, because once you get the word out, you're full. Once people see what you do is doing, and then you don't have the extra paperwork, you don't have the limits, you don't have the caps, you don't have the time limits, you don't have the coding. So there are certainly advantages to having this covered by insurance. I will not deny that. I will also say that's not the answer that we're all waiting for. That's one little piece to this profession, and we may end up long-term not really wanting it anyway. So don't wait for that to move forward in what you're doing.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the Leanne show. This is all you.
I want to add that if you're a coach and you're really trying to drum up business and really convey your message, not just to the public, but also to potentially partnering with physicians, and doing it under a self-pay model, get to know some of the evidence.
Yeah.
So the evidence base matters tremendously in healthcare. And if you Google the Compendium for Health and Wellness Coaching Literature, you will find a lot of really great studies. Our organization, in partnership with the Mayo Clinic and several other people, are in the final iteration of an updated copy of that compendium, which will be released sometime in 2024. But in the meantime, the current compendium that's out there is fantastic. And just familiarize yourself with three or four studies that you can just rattle off. And it will really be helpful, especially if you are working with people for referrals in the healthcare world.
That's a great tip. And we try about every Friday, if not every other Friday, at least in the Facebook community, the Wellness Coach community, we try to post a recent study. So that's a resource. And we generally gather those from Google Scholar. So if you're not familiar with Google Scholar, pop in there, type in health and wellness coaching or wellness coaching or health coaching, and you can set alerts for yourself to whenever there's an updated study, meta-analysis, review, et cetera, you'll get an email highlighting that. So that's an easy, low-hanging fruit for all of you to be able to pull the studies that Leanne is talking about. All right, let's talk AI.
Okay.
We can go, and neither one of us have any idea, but where do you see it moving into a little bit? Let's talk wellness, but more specifically with coaching. Where do you see it playing a role, a potential role, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah. So, you know, I get a lot of calls and emails from concerned health and wellness coaches. They're very concerned that AI is going to take away their job. I personally don't think that's going to happen. I think we can use AI as a tool.
Yep.
It can be a wonderful tool, especially when you're trying to figure something out quickly.
Yep.
But I still stand firm and believe that the human connection is really what it's all about. And AI can't replace that. So anyone who knows me well knows I'm often talking about the blue zones and the importance of connection and the importance of community and the importance of gathering in person. And I just don't think AI is going to be able to take that away from us. So if you're an aspiring coach or currently coaching, I think that AI can be a wonderful tool when you're trying to develop your marketing. And, you know, if you're writing a blog post or trying to get content out there, it can actually be incredibly useful. It's a great way to really get your mind going in a different direction. But when it comes to that human side of coaching, I just think that AI is not going to take that from us. So that's what I think. What do you think, Brad?
Yeah, I think it kind of comes back to the phrase I used earlier, that information does not equal application. When you think about what AI is drawing from, it's essentially has access to the entire world's internet, and it can, in microseconds, pull that information together. So at this moment, it's an incredibly powerful Google search. So the information it's providing is much more organized, it's much more functional than maybe what we had previously, but it still contains information. It is not the back and forth, the skill set that a coach brings to the table in terms of the application. You mentioned looking at certified financial planners, certified public accountants, et cetera, as a comparison point for our industry. And I think that's a great place to look in terms of AI's influence. Theoretically, why is there a need for a certified financial planner? The information's there. It's numbers, right? No, not at all. If you know anything about financial planning and a skilled, highly connected, effective financial planner, their skill set, yes, they do the analysis. Yes, they give the recommendations. Yes, they help guide you. Yes, they help with your investments. But the biggest thing they do is when things are stressful, they help you see the bigger picture. When things are good, they help you take the longer route. That's what we're doing as coaches. We're helping put things into place on a personal level, not simply saying, you know, you should exercise 3 times a week for 40 minutes and it should be at this heart rate. Okay, we've known that for how long?
Right.
But we're not doing it. Why aren't we doing it? Oh my gosh, now I'm doing it because I'm working with my coach. So that's what I would throw out there.
Yeah, and playing off of what you said about the financial planner, it brings me back to when I used to do a lot of coaching sessions with people, one of the first questions I would ask them is, what does a day in your life look like? Like, tell me about what are you going through every day? And just by asking that question, you can really start, one, to really get to know somebody, but two, for them to understand why things may or may not be working, right? Yes. Because you might, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, you don't have any extra minutes in your day. This is okay. Where are we going to find these extra minutes?
Right.
Same thing, right? With a financial planner where they're like, okay, tell me, what are your long-term plans for the future? Where do you see your life when you retire?
Right.
These important questions that AI can't ask.
Right.
And these, they're like, get to the heart of being human.
Right. And a human is asking you that. I just finished reading David Brooks' How to Know a Person. Brooks is such a great writer to start with. But the phrase that stuck out to me in that interview or that book that he wrote was, every individual with whom you come into contact is a unique, never to be repeated individual.
I love that.
A unique, never to be repeated individual. That's coaching taps into that.
For sure.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. You always recommend such good books. I have like books around the brand me shelf. Right now. Yeah, I know a lot of them are books that you've mentioned. So,
all right. Speaking of unique individuals, NBHWC is doing a lot of great work with diversity, equity, inclusion. What can you tell us about progress on that front? Where are we heading? What's been happening? Take us through that journey.
Yeah, sure. So we have a chair of our DEIA commission, right? And right now it's actually our staff who's working directly with the chair. What we're really trying to do is make sure that health and wellness coaching is much more accessible for all, right? So a lot of that has to do with the relationships that we'll create with other organizations or even government entities such as CMS or Indian Health Services, right? Just making sure that health and wellness coaching is at the forefront of their thinking too, right?
Yes.
So we also, it's there's a several conversations happening right now about, should our exam be offered in another language, right? Which I would personally love to see. So I'm really trying to move that along. And just making sure that we're also, when we are delivering information in some of our like community connection events, that we are really bringing in topics and speakers who come from a diverse background, who are just really aware of what we're trying to accomplish as an industry, which is to, again, make health and wellness coaching more accessible for all people. In addition, we had talked earlier, we're expanding our blueprint, right? We're taking a look at the blueprint for the exam and we're building in the health equity coaching competencies into that blueprint and just making sure that our organization is staying current too. So there's always a lot going on. And there's also a lot of conversations happening right now about what should be more specifically going on when it comes to DEIA. So I'm not giving out too much information, and that's because we're in the middle of redoing our strategic plan. So some of the stuff is just talk right now and it's not action yet. But I will say that we've come a long way in that we have diversified our board, which has been great. We just finished our annual survey of coaches, and we've definitely seen a massive improvement in terms of a much more diverse community of coaches. And so we've definitely made strides, but this is kind of like the topic of reimbursement where the work is never done. There is no finish line.
Of course not.
Yeah. There's no finish line. We just keep moving forward. And luckily we have some just really great people that we're working with. We also just had our first session we were working with a different specialist in the area of DEIA last year. And he took our staff and board officers through several sessions, and it was really great. And now we've gone a bit deeper and hired somebody else who's currently working with our staff and our entire board of directors. And we will also have him speak to, or I should say with, all of our approved programs later in the year. So there's a lot of exciting work going on. And again, it's just always evolving and it never really ends. There is not an endpoint.
Are there things that the providers like Catalyst can be doing? Like, we're introducing a scholarship opportunity in that realm. That's our first dip in the toe in to try to support this. Are there other things that if some of the providers are listening to this, you could maybe trigger some ideas that we could be thinking about on how to support your efforts?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Well, I love the idea that you brought. I love the fact that you brought up the scholarship guidebook. It's Nicole actually just sent it out to all the programs yesterday. Yeah. So that would be the first place I would start as a program is what can you do to help support people who want to really change their community? Or I should, and maybe change is the wrong word, impact their community in a positive way mm-hmm. when it comes to health and wellness coaching, right? So how can you help those people actually attend an approved program?
Right.
So I think offering scholarships is awesome. And I would love to see more of that. So if you're an approved program, really think about that. And then also, it's not just about who's coming in to become trained, but it's also about giving them the opportunity to then sit for the exam. Right. So, you know, the exam is several hundred dollars and it's very challenging for a lot of people to come up with that money to sit for the actual exam. And some of these people have great, big, huge dreams and they want to bring these dreams to their communities. And so, you know, how can we provide support, not just in the entry point, but also all the way through? And even when it comes to recertification, right? The other thing is what can training programs do to really up level the skill set and the knowledge of the coach so that when coaches are talking to clients, they're being extremely cognizant of where does that client come from?
Right.
Like, what is their life like?
Right.
What rituals do they bring to the table? What customs do they have? And how might those customs impact their decisions? That's the other thing, right? Showing up Absolutely. To the conversation in a non-judgmental way.
Right.
So I think that's another way programs can support coaches, people who are already coaching, is through continuing education and really broadening the mind and experience of the coach and the people that they're working with.
Yeah, that's great. Love it. All right. So your NBA SHPC is no longer the new kid on the block, 2017. What has changed from the early days? Perspective, support, recognition, anything else that comes to mind now that you're essentially in year seven, plus you gave us some history that we're really going back 12 years, but mm-hmm. it was established technically in 17. What's changed since those early days you were telling us about?
Oh boy, so much. It used to just be me.
I was going to say, Leanne's been there since the beginning, everybody. So we got the right person here to tell us.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm the first employee that they ever hired. So the first employee that the board ever hired, you know, internally, one of the things that changed is that we've expanded our staff. So that's great. It's no longer just me. And then it was just me and Nicole, but now we have, you know, Jennifer who's running program approval and, she's just such a magnificent resource for people. And then, we also have, three additional members of our team that are extremely helpful. So our staff has definitely expanded. Another internal thing that's been very interesting is just trying to move our board from a working board, right? So more working and operational board, which you find a lot in nonprofits that in the early days, the first people who join your board and form the board are really champions for the industry. Sure. And they have to do a lot of heavy lifting. And a lot of that heavy lifting is based in operations. So right now we're definitely trying to move from an operational board to a governance board and more of like that typical board of directors in a nonprofit setting. And that's very painful. It's painful for everybody. Right. So we're definitely going through that. And I like to be super candid too, because I because it's good, right? Because then what happens is other nonprofits that are listening to this, like other, you know, staff members in nonprofits or other board members in nonprofits, they'll be able to identify with right. that feeling of why it's difficult, right? It's not a bad thing. It's just a hard thing to transition.
Right.
So That's definitely another thing that's changing. And then in terms of like recognition and stuff, we're still working hard to create awareness about the board certification and about the MBHWC, but we're definitely, particularly in healthcare, noticing that organizations are now coming to us and saying, oh, I heard about what you're doing. And, you know, we want to be a part of this. We want to hire board certified coaches. How can we do that? Right. So we have a job board, and we're receiving a lot of inquiries from people, but particularly healthcare. Also, I think that another thing that's shifting, and I'd love your perspective on this, is now I feel like we're getting a lot more information about employee wellness, right? And the importance of well-being. We're getting a lot more outreach about that. I'm seeing an uptick in job openings regarding employee wellness and well-being and hiring health and wellness coaches. So I'm seeing a lot more about that on LinkedIn and just through my email and phone. I don't know. Do you see that shift as well?
So that's the sandbox we've been in since 07 is right. The employee wellness side. And we recently in 2023, January, so just over a year from when we're recording this, we transitioned from being a wellness company to exclusively focused on coaching. And so, yes, your vision is our vision. We see a huge need for that focus because we're finding, I'll just be transparent too, we're finding that so many of the, in quote, wellness programs out there are actually technology programs that happen to have coaching stuck on the back shelf in the corner of the store. So it's available, but utilization is 1 or 2 or 3% maybe. And so it's not impactful. And then we see these studies come out that say wellness coach didn't really have an impact. Well, where was the wellness coach? It wasn't a thing. So when we look at our data and we see those who were engaged in a health and wellness coach session, a minimum of, let's say, 3 times, 4 times annually, what were their changes? What was their turnover? What was their productivity? Whatever the KPIs are that you're wanting to track. So yes, Leanne, we see that as the future for us, at least as an organization, is being that company that can come in and provide the very best in coaching. And we're kind of hoping for the industry's sake, maybe not for our sake, that it moves in that direction overall, because we believe in coaching. We've been doing this for 18 years and we think it's so powerful if we do it right, but not if we stick it in the back shelf, don't tell anybody about it, don't incentivize it. No employee wakes up in the morning and says, I want to talk to my health and wellness coach. If they were experienced in having a session or two, they probably would. They'd be like, oh man, I've got a tough week. I need to talk to my coach. That's where we need to get. That's what I'm excited about, is that day when people do wake up and say, I've got a big meeting coming up. I've got a big stressor coming up. My family's in a tough situation right now. My budget meeting's upcoming. I got to reach out to my health and wellness coach. Like, that's my dream, is when that happens. Yeah. We're not there yet, but I think we're starting to have those eyes opened as people experience real coaching instead of call center-based, generic, randomized, 4-minute-long sessions.
Definitely. Well, and also what I'm seeing is that instead of it coming from the employer, it's actually coming from the demands of the employee. So I feel like employees are now saying, hold on a minute, you know, I'm working here 9 to 10 hours a day, 5 days a week. I need a little bit more. Like, I need more support. I need more focus on my well-being. And, you know, I think a coach can help.
Well, and so many people aren't ready to talk to a therapist, but a coach, right. Oh yeah, yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to talk to a coach. I was down to speak at the SHRM, Society for Human Resource Managers Talent Conference last January, and the topic of the conversation is how coaching supports your EAP, how coaching supports counseling and therapy, because a good therapist, a good counselor focuses on all the things that a coach does so well. Let's get sunshine. Let's get activity. Let's, you know, the cornerstones, move, fuel, rest, connect. And yet if a counselor has to do it, they're spending the majority of that counseling session on those things so they never get to family of origin. They never get to anxiety and depression. They never get to acute trauma because they're focused on. So the tandem of the two is just glorious when that can be arranged as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Just one comment. I think it's amazing and so cool. And everyone should be so excited about the fact Leanne and Nicole have been with him from the beginning. Think of the value of that continuity of those two people leading the charge from the beginning. So don't go anywhere. We need you. You two are doing an awesome job. I'm glad the team is growing, but that is huge. That turnover could just kill an organization. Okay. Everyone wants to know what's the typical pass rate of the exam and what can prospective coaches do to enhance their odds of passing the first time through?
Sure. I think we've delivered the exam 13 times.
Okay.
And those who have sat for the exam, out of those who have sat for the exam, between 78 to 82% of people have passed. We don't publish a passing score. So we don't say you sure. have to achieve an 80%.
Sure.
But what we do say is that 78 to 82% have passed. So,
And is that first time or is that eventually?
No, that's first time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's first time. And then in order to prepare for the exam, it's interesting because a lot of coaches will say, I don't know why I have to do these 50 health and wellness coaching sessions. And I'm like, you know what? You're just going to learn so much
by doing it. Yes.
Because it's hard. And it's hard to talk with people about this stuff that's really personal, right? I mean, it really is. But you will learn so much by doing it. And you will also learn that coaching is not about putting on your expert hat, right? But assuming that the client is an expert in their own life. And when you do these coaching sessions over and over, I just think that that really prepares you for the exam. Obviously, there's content that, you know, needs to be known. But I would tell people, you know, download the content outline. We now have a practice exam that's available, right? So take the practice exam. There are several books out there that are very helpful. And I always say, talk to your program for them, ask them to recommend what books you should take a look at. I can't do that. I can't recommend the books because then I get called out for being biased, right? So I have to be careful about that, but you don't have to be careful about that as the founder of Catalyst. So I tell people just reach out to your program and they'll be able to refer you to books that will work.
And I know we offer a preparatory course for our students, and I know other programs do the same. Is that pretty common? Should people be asking about that maybe as they're trying to figure out the best option for them?
For sure. Yes. So in many cases, the approved program will offer a prep course just as Catalyst Coaching does. But in addition to that, if you go onto social media platforms and you just Google MBHWC exam prep, you're going to find a few other options. I always recommend, though, pick up the phone, talk to the person, ask them questions like how many people have taken this have actually passed the exam if they know the answers to that. Right. So do your homework and don't do your homework through email or a website, but actually pick up the phone and see what type of synergy you have.
That is such good advice. All right. We're up against the clock, but I want to just throw out a generic question so you can take any direction you want. Any final words of wisdom? This is the Leanne Show. What have we got for people that I haven't asked? I've got 17 other questions sitting here, but we're not going to get to them. So what did we miss? What's key right now? What would you like to get out there before we hit the end of this thing?
What I would say is own it. Own it. If you're a coach, be confident in your delivery about what a health and wellness coach can do for potential clients. Own it. Understand the value of certification. Take time to do research. There's a great website called the Institute for Credentialing Excellence. And there's all kinds of information there about the value of certification, why it's important, you know, just own it and be confident in what you are providing. And I think that will just really help people be encouraged to want to hire you to work with them.
Love it. Great way to end. Leanne, thanks as always. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks for tuning into the number one podcast for health and wellness coaching. We are so honored to have Leanne join us for our regular update on the state of health and wellness coaching. If you're looking for additional information on your own career as a coach or are an employer, an organization wanting to bring credible board-certified coaching to your employee team members, reach out to us anytime. Results at CatalystCoaching360. And now, it's time to be that catalyst. This is Catalyst Coaching's Dr. Brad Cooper. Make it a great rest of your week, and I'll speak with you soon on the next episode of the Catalyst 360 podcast, or maybe over on the YouTube coaching channel.